Namah Oh Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Ashityare Sutarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Vedanta Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Vedanta Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Haribo. Just one moment, please. So thank you very much for coming here in the middle of the week when everyone's busy with so many things. But somehow or other, if we find a moment of time for Krishna, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. So, we sang a little, and because Srila Prabhupada always took us through the holy dham of Vrindavan to the spiritual world by chanting the bhajan written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Radha Madhava. We must do that to keep up the tradition. Because the tradition is full of transcendental energy, and therefore by maintaining the tradition we are maintaining strength. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu sakalane amata yoga nasta parantapa. It is explained that this transcendental knowledge comes in a disciplic succession, and within that disciplic succession a transcendental tradition is maintained, and that's important because within that so much potency is there. Therefore we follow the tradition. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopira Navalava Girivanada Yasoda nana rajanana rana Yasoda nana rajanana rana Yamuna tira nachari Yamuna tira nachari Jayaranda madhava Kunja Bihari Jayaranda
Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopidanda Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopidanda Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda na 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 Rajana na 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 Yasoda na 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 Rajana na 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 Yamuna tira na chari Yamuna Tira Jari Yamuna Tira Jari Yamuna Tira Jari Yamuna Tira Anachari Yaira Namadava Kunjabihari Yaira Namadava Punjabi Hari Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopidana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda nanana Vrajanana ranyana Yasoda nanana Vrajanana ranyana Yamuna Tira Anachari Yamuna Tira Anachari Yamuna Tira Anachari
Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Hari Nam Sankirtan Yagi ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Is it cold or warm? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ah. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 12. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye matai viti tanvide natvahum te sute maye. Ye, all which, cha, end, eva, certainly, sattvika, in goodness, bhava, states of being, rajasaha, in the mode of passion, tamasaha, in the mode of ignorance, cha, also, ye, all which, mataha, from me, eva, certainly, iti, thus, tam, those, vidi, try to know, na, not, to, but, aham, I, tisu, in them, te, they, mayi, in me. Translation. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am, in one sense, everything. But I'm independent. I'm not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. All material activities in the world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature, although these material modes of nature are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna. He's not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna. But Krishna is not subject to material nature. Therefore, he is nirguna, which means that these gunas, or modes, although issuing from him, do not affect him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshuraminitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Yeah, we are always under the influence of the three modes of material nature. We cannot avoid that. The three modes of material nature are creating so many situations, and we have to deal with them. Heat, cold, hunger, thirst, youth, old age, so many different situations come about. Times that we have lots of money, times that we have no money, times that we have good health, times that we don't. All these circumstances are forced upon us, and there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to deal with it. Therefore, life is a situation one has to deal with. One cannot just think, I will make certain dreams come through. That also is part of it, that we have desires to fulfill many. And we try to fulfill these desires while at the same time life is happening to us. And we juggle these two things, simply dealing with what happens, and then in between trying to arrange everything in such a way that we can fulfill our desires. Not an easy task. Virtually speaking, very difficult to do. Some people are very satisfied because they are a success. They have done it, right? And they are looking at others as, yes, I've got it figured out. But that is only a temporary glory that cannot really lost because it's very vulnerable. The slightest thing can break it down. So in that way, we are not taking that so serious, the so-called success of someone in this world. Now on the plane, as I came, they have scratch cards for gambling. So one man next to me had a scratch card, and with his scratch card, he won another scratch card. Got another chance to win the 1 million euros, which he didn't win, but at least he got the scratch twice. And he was so happy when he won another scratch card. That's an interesting thing. Obviously a trick, you know, to get him to buy one again. So I'm sure he'll go home and tell his wife, I won. You know, I won today. Listen to what I won. A big thing. Yes. We win so many temporary advantages. But a devotee is looking beyond. A devotee is seeing that Krishna is beyond these ups and downs of the material world, and that Krishna is not affected, and that the devotee of Krishna lives with Krishna. And that is really the amazing feature of a devotee. That no matter what happens in the world, devotee is still doing the same. If the whole world just collapses, devotees are still chanting Hare Krishna. If a devotee wins $1 million, he's still chanting Hare Krishna. He's still worshipping Krishna. Nothing changes. As a devotee goes through the motions of life, he keeps on at least remembering Krishna. Maybe when he's very ill and cannot chant Hare Krishna very well, then he will chant as much as possible. And as soon as he's better, he will chant again his prescribed number of rounds. In this way, he will always remember Krishna. So this is the perfection of spiritual life, to remember Krishna. We see that described in the Bhagavatam. Throughout Bhagavatam, there are different ways described for remembering Krishna. One way is sort of in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. It begins to describe how everything, all the elements within the universe are connected with the Supreme Lord. And it is said that there is a universal form of the Lord. How we can look at the universe and see within it the Supreme Lord. We see the sun and the moon, and then we can just see them as the eyes of the Supreme Lord. We can see the clouds, and we can see them as the hair of the Supreme Lord. And when we are looking at the mountain ranges, we can look at them like the spine of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, throughout the whole arrangement of the universe, we can recognize the Supreme Lord. And in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us to see everything in connection with the Supreme Lord. It said, but then one must carry on. And then one must carry on to the personal form of the Supreme Lord, the form of Krishna. And one must render devotional service to Krishna. And we see a description of Vidura. Vidura, who was born in a royal family. Vidura, who was brought up also in the court, in the palace, but Vidura was not born from the queen. The king begot him in the womb of a maidservant. Such things were not scandals in Vedic times. Such things were permitted for kings. Kings would sometimes have such sons, right? And such sons would also be maintained in the court, but they had no rights. They had no rights to the throne or anything like that. So he was such a son, Vidura. One day, Vidura was insulted. And Vidura, at that time, left the palace. And he went to visit different places of pilgrimage. Sometime after that, the battle of Kurukshetra began. And so many of the family members of Vidura died within the war of Kurukshetra. It is said that Vidura returned after having visited so many holy places after 30 years. 30 years Vidura had traveled. And then he returned. So when Vidura returned to the palace, it was something. Everyone was just couldn't believe it. Vidura is back. Imagine someone here from Stockholm who is dear to all of us, a saintly personality, an advanced spiritual personality, disappears, never to be seen again. Right? I mean, 30 years is never. Right? Never to be seen again. And suddenly, just when everyone's just given up on him, he appears. So it was a tremendous shock. And when Vidura came back, everyone was elated because everyone loved him. He was such a personality. Everyone really loved him because he was a devotee of Krishna. And therefore, he had no personal agenda. And therefore, he was basically kind towards everyone. He was always trying to somehow or other be kind to every person. And but Vidura had not only come to be kind in speaking soft and gentle words, Vidura had also come to be kind and to be strong. Because kindness is not always just saying soft and gentle things. Sometimes kindness is also to be strong. Right? When someone is going wrong, we don't just say like, well, you know, you shouldn't really do this now, flower, flower. But then again, if you really feel like doing it, then maybe you can't help it and you will do it. Right? It's time to say no. Right? No. So Dhritarashtra, the elder brother of Vidura, he was blind. And he had been sitting there in the palace for such a long time, from long before the war. He was not killed in the war because he was blind. He could not fight. And Dhritarashtra, all his sons had been killed in the war. And still. And his family was basically defeated. Bhima, one of the Pandavas, had personally killed 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. And still, now the Pandavas were ruling in the palace. And still Dhritarashtra stayed there. So, when Vidura came in, he spoke very strong. He said that, here you are. He said, in your old age, your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, right? And you are simply being maintained like a household dog, eating the remnants left by Bhima. Now, Bhima that hurt because Bhima killed his sons. Right? And in this way, he spoke very strong words to Dhritarashtra and convinced him to leave home. So Dhritarashtra eventually left home with Vidura and they went far away to a remote place in the forest. And there Dhritarashtra began to meditate. And it is said that Dhritarashtra at one point attained perfection in his meditation and that he was able to attain liberation from birth and death and that he was able by mystic power to give up his body and to just become free from the cycle of birth and death. But, so this was amazing, right? That someone could do it. And he was releasing this mystic energy that his body just burned up in a spontaneous fire, which was generating out of his own body. It was amazing. So when Vidura saw all this, he was indeed amazed that Dhritarashtra was able to do this. And he was in one sense happy that Dhritarashtra had left the palace and that he had attained this liberation. But Vidura was also sad. He was sad that Dhritarashtra had become a mystic yogi, but not a devotee. That he had not become a devotee of Krishna. He was happy that Dhritarashtra, through mystic yoga, had attained great power and great perfection, and that he had this ability to actually attain liberation. But he was sad to see that he had not become a devotee of Krishna. But it was not possible, because Dhritarashtra had supported those throughout his life who were against the devotees of Krishna. And because of supporting those who were against devotees of Krishna, due to his offense, he could not become a devotee of Krishna. If one wants to become a devotee of Krishna, one must always be respectful of the devotees of Krishna. One must always be always worship the devotees of Krishna. Because aradhanam sarvesam vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Krishna says that my devotees are more dear to me than myself. Oh, yes. So this is very important. The devotees of Krishna are more dear to him than himself. Therefore, by worshipping Krishna's devotees, one gets even greater results than worshipping Krishna himself. And this is the most amazing thing. Right? Most amazing thing. Something that we don't realize. We don't realize at first. It gradually begins to dawn upon us. It takes... And I'm speaking about myself as appreciating the devotees is a work in progress. Right? It is a work in progress. It's not a completed feat that I'm here on the big throne to kind of lecture how we must all do what I've already done. And when will you get it together? Not in that mood, but rather in the mood of this is really so important that we are worshipping Vaishnavas, that we are appreciating Vaishnavas, that we are somehow or other facilitating Vaishnavas, that we are helping Vaishnavas. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared in this world, for the first part of his life, he was hidden. He was a hidden incarnation. For the first part of his life, nobody knew that he was the Supreme Lord. He was known as Nimai Pandit, very learned, and so on. And as a boy, he played many games, but no, for once, as a child, he laid down on top of a snake. A snake was coiled up and he was lying down on top of the snake. And everyone was like, the child is lying on top of a snake. Of course, we know that Lord Vishnu is resting on the bed of Anantasesh. In this way, we understand the snake was not an ordinary snake. It was a transcendental manifestation of Ananta. And the Supreme Lord was resting on Ananta. So he was perfectly peaceful. But everyone was very glad that the child was saved from the snake. In this way, sometimes the Lord played some transcendental pastimes, but it was all hidden. Then when he grew up, one day, Well, in due course of time, he had to go through what most of us have to go through, that his father expired. As his father expired, it was the customary practice to go to Gaya. Gaya is in the state of Bihar. It is at some distance from Navadvip, the place where he used to live. He went there on a pilgrimage and performed sacrifices on behalf of his father so that his father would be benedicted. The Shraddha ceremony he performed with some brahmanas. At that time, he also met his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. After meeting his spiritual master, Nimai was a new man. Nimai was a changed person. And when Nimai returned to Navadvip, he was completely changed. He began to, previously, he was a very learned, arrogant scholar. And no one could come near him or he would enter into a debate and would defeat them. Now, and the Vaishnavas, he used to defeat also. So when they saw him coming, they would cross the street. But now, Nimai would pay obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Nimai would bow down to them. Nimai began to serve them. Nimai was chanting Hare Krishna all the time. And somehow or other, Nimai was helping all the Vaishnavas. For some, he did errands. For some, he carried things. For others, he was washing their clothes. Whatever he could do, he was serving every devotee immediately. And this mood of service to the Vaishnavas was so extraordinary in Nimai, immediately. And the Vaishnavas were saying, oh, how nice. Now he has become a devotee, and they would allow him to render some service so that he could make spiritual advancement. Not understanding who they were dealing with, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we see how Krishna himself, also takes this mood of serving the Vaishnavas. Because there's the famous Rajasuya sacrifice organized by Yudhisthira Maharaj. And different members of the family, the Pandavas, were there. Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, right? Were all there. All the brothers of Yudhisthira. They all got their service. It is said that Bhima was put in charge of the kitchen because he was a voracious eater and therefore he also loved to cook. So Bhima was in charge of the kitchen. And the twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadev, they were expert at horses. So they took charge of the stables. Arjuna, I forgot. What did Arjuna do? Do you remember that? What?
Dance teacher.
Dance teacher?
Dance
teacher, really? Yeah. Okay, couldn't remember that. Okay, that was later. Yeah, that was later. There's another pastor. Okay. Yeah, no, I can't remember what he was doing. But anyway, Krishna, I'll tell you what Krishna was doing now. Krishna took the service of receiving all the guests and washing their feet. Anyone who arrived, Krishna personally took charge of washing their feet. See, that's Krishna. Right. Krishna is always in the mood of serving the devotees. When Yudhisthira was riding on his chariot, he saw Krishna also mounted on his chariot. And Yudhisthira thought, oh, here's Krishna, let me get down from the chariot and offer my obeisances. And while he was thinking it, Krishna already jumped down from his own chariot and offered obeisances to Yudhisthira, and he beat him to it. In this way, Krishna was always in the mood of serving his devotees. So, this principle of serving devotees is very important. So, the last period, a lot of my lectures and programs have been focusing on devotee relationships, and maybe also today again, I'm speaking on this topic. one thing that comes to mind in speaking of devotee relationships is that there must be love and trust. That's very important, that there's love and trust. So love and trust is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Because, I always say, love is easy, but trust, right, in this age, you know, yes, we love you all, but to trust someone in this age of Kali, whew, watch out, right? Not easy, not easy at all. Because, for example, the French philosopher Pascal, who wrote a philosophical treatise called Les Pensées, or Pensées, that was it, Thoughts, right? He said that if friends would know what friends say behind their back, there wouldn't be two friends in this world. So when I read that, I was a little bit shocked at at such a strong statement, and I took it as a challenge. I was thinking that if Vaishnavas cannot rise above this platform, but then I was thinking, then we have to become very noble, because then we have to become very principled, and we have to stand up for our friends. It's easy to say, oh, you are right, you are very nice. But if we're facing three other people who tell us, oh, this person has done this and done that, and it's so horrible, then we have to also say the same thing again. No, this person is very nice. In front of the person and behind the person, speak in the same way. If we don't, how can there be trust? Trust. Trust also requires that a spirit of accepting each other. Because we are all different, with different moods, different desires, different needs, also in relation to Krishna. We also like to do some service, something. Getting too long. So we also, everyone has his own nature, and everyone needs some room for that nature. And we have to provide for that with each other. We cannot just reject someone, right? Like, we have to, as a community, accept each other and be open and be accommodating. That must be there in relationships. And yet, we have standards, absolute standards, standards from scriptures, standards of behavior that are coming down in the cyclic succession. And yet we are recommended to come up to certain standards. And Srila Prabhupada, he said that one must recognize that amongst Vaishnavas, there are, not everyone is equal. There are different levels. Some are senior, some are junior, and so on. And one must respect seniority. But the seniors, they must have the art to bend and not break. They must somehow or other fan the spark. They must, to lead means one must at least keep the fire of inspiration really burning. When the fire of inspiration is burning, then one can say also something. Right? If the fire of inspiration is burning, then one can say, look, yes, but this thing is actually not good. All right, then we'll take it, because We keep the fire of inspiration burning. But if there's no fire of inspiration burning, and then someone starts telling you, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and it is the proper Vaishnava standard to sit like this, to eat like that, to speak like this, to sit like that, then too many rules, too many regulations, and we just get suffocated, and it becomes very dry. Sometimes we see that Hinduism, right, what is known as Hinduism, is something terribly dry. I see some scholarly astrologer, I see some picture, and it's like, looks like pergament, right? As dry can be. You know, I mean, the driest person you've ever seen in all your life. And you know, it's all about rules and regulations. The whole thing, and the whole face is just dry, and there's no nothing spontaneous, no juice. Of course, I do not mean to minimize, but I'm speaking any person, but I'm speaking against minimizing the process of devotional service and reducing it to a process of rules and regulations. It must be a process based on inspiration, a process based on taste. There must be rasa, there must be taste. And leadership means that everyone must have taste. A leader must allow everyone to have some taste. A preacher must everyone allow to have some taste. That one who is giving the mercy, if he doesn't allow people to experience taste, then where is that mercy? And yet, correction has to be there. Inevitably so, because we are influenced by the three modes of material nature, and we have to rise above. We are now not perfect. We are now conditioned souls. We are now somehow or other influenced by a mixture of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we have to come to the pure transcendental platform of purified goodness. And that means that we have to gradually adjust our whole life to satisfying Krishna and to purifying ourselves for Krishna. And we must eat as pure as possible. We must sleep as pure as possible. We must even mating as pure as possible. Yes. And defending or making arrangements for our survival in this world, to say it in another way, as pure as possible. And within that, we all seek for purification. That means adjustment, not easy at all. So a great task. So spiritual leadership is of great importance. And the whole Vedic culture was based on it. Brahmanas were essential. Nowadays, there is a curse resting upon the Brahmanas. A big karmic reaction is resting upon the Brahmanas. At the time, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, when the Brahmana boy Sringi actually cursed Maharaj Pariksit to die within 7 days by snake bite. We know the story. At that time, yes, Sringi, he was a boy. He was foolish. His Maharaj Pariksit had certainly done something inappropriate. He was the emperor of the world. He was coming into the forest. It was hot. He was thirsty, and he was somehow or other in a bad mood because of extreme thirst. And he came before this sage, asked him for some water. No reply. So he felt, what is this? And he's sort of the emperor, you know. The emperor is coming and he doesn't even get a little recognition. So as an emperor is used to, you know, big receptions. Right? And the emperor is usually getting like enormous dinners and everything offered to him, right? The best of the best. And he didn't want anything of that. All he wanted was a little water. And that he couldn't get. Such a cold reception. Never in his life did he get such a cold reception. So there happened to be this a dead snake lying next to the sage. So Maharaj Pariksit, with the end of his bow, picked it up, hung it around the neck of the sage, saying that, since you gave me such a cold reception, I will also give you an appropriate cold reciprocation, namely the cold dead body of a snake. Afterwards, Maharaj Pariksit was thinking that maybe I shouldn't have done that, and maybe that that sage was actually in a trance. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't just ignoring me. Maybe he was really in a transcendental state. So anyway, but his son became so upset, so upset. This little Brahmana upstart son cursed Maharaj Pariksit, who was otherwise a perfect emperor, totally dedicated to Dharma, to die within 7 days from snake bite. So it was an offense on the part of this young Brahmana son to act inappropriately, because the king was a saintly person, even if he was a little bit in a bad mood, should have just been tolerated. It was not a big deal. The king was very important. Without the king, the Brahmanas cannot be peaceful. The Brahmanas depend on the king, very much so. So anyway, when Sringi cursed Maharaj Pariksit, at that time, all the Brahmanas shared in the reaction, the whole Brahminical class. And from that moment on, the Brahmanas fell from their position. Yes, and they began to lose their Brahma Tejas. That doesn't mean that each Brahmana became completely fallen and that there are no more Brahminical personalities, but still the Brahmanas shared in the whole curse. The reason for that given is also that it is said that previously Brahmanas who were, or previously demoniac personalities who had been given opportunity to take their birth now in the family of Brahmanas, so that the age of Kali could really begin, by a divine arrangement of the Supreme Lord. But anyway, there was this curse resting upon the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas gradually became corrupted. Brahmanas are very important because they were spiritual personalities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there's a nice reception of Garga Muni by Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj is describing that how fortunate we are that a Brahmana is coming to our house. We are very, very fortunate that he is gracing our abode with his spiritual presence. So at that time, it was already special that a Brahmana would come to one's house 5,000 years ago. And it was absolutely amazing that this such a Brahmana would just change the entire spiritual atmosphere. Now, devotees are all meant to rise out of the material nature and all become qualified brahmanas. So what an amazing gathering it must be if all are brahmanas, if all are actually just full of good qualities, full of respect, full of humility, full of transcendental knowledge. What an amazing gathering it must be. It must be a gathering of sages. So basically, that is what our movement is meant to provide, a gathering of saintly personalities who have an amazing amazing relationships and interaction, very respectful towards one another. And it all works. It works very well. If we want as a group to function, we can have a psychological approach, and we can say, okay, we all have agreements that no one will criticize nobody, and that we will all be respectful to each other. Everyone will let others finish. No one will interrupt anyone. And these kind of things, you know, you hear sometimes. And I have seen lists of how one can function in groups. So this is the psychological approach of trying to create a positive atmosphere within a group. But in the Vedic culture, it wasn't done through psychology. It wasn't done through psychology. It was done through humility. Humility was the key that made relationships amongst devotees work. Because everyone was taking simply a humble position. Juniors and seniors, and everyone. No one was demanding. But the juniors were taking the most humble position. And in that way, on the strength of humility, relationships would work. But in the age of Kali, this has become difficult. This has become difficult for us. I am not myself so humble, and therefore I suffer from a typical Kali Yuga problem in this regards. But the problem is that if we lack humility, we do cut ourselves off from the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So we must be careful. We must somehow or other I think it's worth some meditation. And that's the point. I think that when we are taking Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have to look at, here is some, or Bhagavad Gita, here is some very deep, ancient, traditional wisdom, right, which comes to us in the middle of our passionate lives in the modern world. Right? In between a phone call and an email, in a life where we have so much entanglement. Right? Our lives are so complex nowadays compared to the previous times when people were living mostly in villages, and even cities were like villages. Right? Now, such a high pace, so many things to do, difficult to manage everything. So in the midst of our passionate life, this ancient deep knowledge is coming in, and therefore we should not deal with it in the passionate mood that we are used to deal with everything. Right? Sometimes you get like an interviewer, and he basically says, tell me in one line, what are you guys all about? Right. You know. All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's one line, you know, we can, right. You want it all in a nut. Give me the essence now. You know, the essence. We just want the essence. Nothing else, right? That's the passion, right? The passion. So initially, people may approach this movement in such a passionate way, and possibly even we might catch ourselves, right? And we also sort of quickly say, okay, I got it figured out. We have to, once the time goes by, years go by, actually. Years go by that we know about Krishna. Years go by that we know about devotional service. Years go by that we are regularly coming to the temple. Years go by that we are chanting the holy name. And years go by and we hear and we get knowledge, and yet we've never yet really sat down, and we never really became thoughtful, and we never really sort of stopped in our tracks and really looked at ourselves and say, how can I take full advantage of this transcendental knowledge? But somewhere in our life, it has to come to that point. Somewhere in our life, we do have to sit down and say, and now I'm really going to read the Bhagavad Gita. Now I'm really going to read it. Not just, I read it 6 times. No, now I'm really going to read it. And then I'm really going to read the Bhagavatam. And really going to really, really try to understand what does it really mean. And what does it mean to me? And how does it affect my life? And how do I have to change? And how do I have to grow? Right? I mean, at one point we have to come to that. But it can take years, many years, some case even lifetimes. Anyway, we have Gornitai. What a relief, right? But, and they are most merciful. And they'll give the mercy freely, even to those who are not qualified. But we have to try to be qualified. Not that we say, oh yes, they give the mercy to those who are not qualified, so I don't have to even try to be qualified. Oh no. Oh no. It's not that cheap. It's not that cheap. We have to try to be qualified. Then if we are not qualified, they'll make up the rest, what's lacking. But we must try. That is very important. That makes all the difference. Otherwise, it's only lip service. Otherwise, it's only show bottle. And that we've seen too much, you know. Holy gestures, holy faces, enough in all the traditions around the world. At home, here, or on the other side of the planet, the same thing. Very holy faces in the place of worship in front of the altar. But for the rest, under the influence of passion, doing so many things against the desire of the Supreme Lord. Against His... why? These scriptures are revealing the will of the Lord, right? It is to be carried upon one's head as a great jewel. It said Arjuna, after Krishna left the planet, Arjuna was getting very, very depressed. Right? Can you imagine? If Krishna was on the planet, Arjuna was his best friend, the best friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he left the planet. Arjuna was finished. Right? He was just totally heartbroken. But there was one thing that kept him going, and that was remembering the instructions of Krishna. And when Arjuna remembered the instructions of Krishna, he was remembering instructions. Come on now, I'm not remembering. I have to look. Satchamte Pratijana Pujan 1864, maybe. Let's see. Yes, it is Mam Eva Shaisi Satchamte. Okay, I guess there's 2 verses. Man Manabhava Mat Bhakto Majaji Mam Namaskaru. Mam Eva Shaisi Satchamte Pratijane Priyosime. This verse comes twice. But it is a little different. The last 2 lines are changed. First 2 lines are the same in 934 and in 1865. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. So when Arjuna was remembering verses like this, then he thought, yes, Krishna is promising. He's promising that if I simply always think of him, then I will surely come to him. I will surely come to him. So then his suffering of separation, there was some relief in these promises. And this promise kept him going. Right? And he spent all his time just remembering Krishna. Right? And this is really not just an instruction for Arjuna. This is for us. I mean, really. Arjuna was just put in temporary bewilderment by an arrangement of Krishna. Arjuna was a pure devotee, but Krishna arranged it that Arjuna forgot and became bewildered and stood in the battlefield of Kurukshetra in a state of depression, and that Krishna then spoke the Bhagavad Gita, not for Arjuna, for us. Therefore, Arjuna's example of remembering the instructions of Krishna is what is for us. It will bring us to Krishna without fail. So this is very nice, and that's why we are churning this point today, that by serving the Vaishnavas and by always remembering Krishna, right, then we can make our life meaningful. Otherwise life is not meaningful enough. Not even if you have everything, family and but that's still not fulfilled. But if we want to be fulfilled, then serving the devotees of Krishna and then remembering Krishna. Through serving the devotees, one can always remember Krishna. If we serve the devotees, then we develop the mood of humility by which we can actually remember Krishna. Now I stop. Questions, comments? Yeah, but still we have to see that everyone is making some sacrifice for Krishna. And anybody who is doing that, right, is still a devotee and still deserves to be treated with respect. Right? Even if that person is temporarily in a fallen condition due to some misfortune, but always a devotee, even if such a devotee is not practicing at all, still internally the attachment to Krishna is there, and therefore still respect is to be given. Even if someone has become degraded and a debauchee and is engaging in abominable activity. Bhagavad Gita 9:30 and 31 are two verses that really deal with this topic very much, and the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on these verses are something incredible. Something incredible, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries oftentimes creates a dialogue. Yeah? That's his style. His style is that he has two persons entering into some discussion, and a very interesting discussion unfolds, because it says the same thing that Tapas just said is there. That, well, if we, yes, we should respect the devotee if his behavior is respectful or respectable. But if someone is not doing anything appropriate, then surely we cannot respect him. No, still must be respected. Right? And he just takes it very, very far in that discussion. He says, even if someone is totally engaging in the most degraded activities, still he must be respected. Because we know that in his heart he's always remembering Krishna, and in his heart he's always realizing that I'm actually doing something totally wrong, and therefore he's burning in the fire of purification. Yeah. And he'll quickly become righteous. Right? What quickly is his heart to say? I mean, it may not necessarily be from our perspective quickly, from Krishna's perspective quickly, can be in this life itself or in the next. That's quickly on many, many lifetimes. It can also be quickly from our perspective. Yeah. But still, we always look like that, with respect towards even the most fallen devotees. That's what we're taught. Yeah. How do we define respect? Yes. Well, the nature of the modern culture is that we have one measure for everyone. So we're trying to always kind of come to one measurement, and that's it. Right? But Vedic culture is not doing that. Vedic culture is defining respect different as we're dealing with different persons. So when we're dealing with Vaishnavas that follow, then we respect them in one way. Then we seek their association. We have these six loving exchanges, you know, with them that are listed in the Nectar of Instruction. When we are dealing with Vaishnavas that are fallen, then we may have more limited association with them. Yeah. We may have to respect them somewhat more remote. From time to time we may try, but we cannot get involved with them on a daily basis. It may not be possible. Yeah. It may just not be possible. And ultimately we are there. You know, if they turn around and come closer, then we are there, and we're not like going to say, well, you, what are you doing here? You know, you've behaved in such a way, we can never, never, ever let you back in. On the other hand, you know, we have seen all kinds of situations, of course. I mean, we saw the devotees that somehow or other put their money, their hands in the safe and walk away with, 300,000 kronas or something, and spend it all, and then come back 1 year later and say, sorry. Right? We've seen those also, yes? And then we say, okay, please, Prabhu, forgive my offenses, they say then. They come back after spending the 300,000 kronas, right? And say, please, Prabhu, forgive my offenses. I made a mistake. No, yes, we'll forgive your offenses. Yes, we'll forgive your mistake. But now you have to set it straight also. So you have to pay it back. You know, with time, but you know, you have to work on it. Huh? So there are different ways to respect a person according to the situation. And therefore, when you ask how do you define respect? We respect everyone's connection with Krishna. You know, that could be a common denominator. And we also respect everyone's right to have a connection with Krishna. So even those who don't have an active connection with Krishna, we respect that they have the right to have an active connection with Krishna. We help them like that. And that way we're respectful even to non-devotees. And any devotee who has some sort of relationship with Krishna, we respect that. But we deal with everyone according to his position at the same time. Yes. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made quite a major effort to deal with Vaishnav etiquette. If you look at the Antya Lila, there are about 6 or 7 chapters that deal with Vaishnav etiquette. You know, all examples of how Vaishnavas are dealing and are supposed to deal. And within it, the topic of Vaishnav etiquette is many times addressed. For example, Haridas Thakur is mentioned as having perfect behavior. Tumi Sarva Jagatir Arya, you are the most elevated person in the whole universe. The case of Jagadananda Pandit, who was young, and he was trying to instruct Sanatan Goswami, who was elder and very learned. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard about it, he said, "Who is this Jaga? Who does this?" He didn't even pronounce his name after that. He just said, "Who does this Jaga think he is that he can instruct you? I even go to you for advice. And he thinks that he can instruct you." Then he says, "I will never tolerate it," right, from anyone that they transgress the rules of Vaishnav etiquette. Yeah. And so like that, there are many examples where the topic of Vaishnav etiquette is discussed, and also examples of pastimes dealing with it. And also, Sanatan Goswami was ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write a book on Vaishnav etiquette. And at the end, Sanatan Goswami says, "Yes, but how can I write such a book? You know, you please empower me that all your instructions will be manifest in me, so that I can write. Otherwise, I cannot write." So, Vaishnav etiquette is a particular type of behavior based on respect. Based on respecting anything and anyone related with Krishna. Nothing that is related to Krishna can ever be disrespected. Nothing. Right? I mean, you know, this is a garland. It's somehow or other related to Krishna. So it cannot just be treated like an ordinary thing, you know, I mean, to take it off and throw it there. No. It's to be treated with utmost respect. Now, in Kali Yuga, we get a little bit of leeway. You know, a leeway means a little bit of license to be a little less strict. I was reading in the Vishnu Purana, it said if you somehow or other step over the nirmalya, over the flowers that have been offered to Krishna, you lose everything. All your pious credits and everything. Yeah, we do it all the time. Yeah. But there were kings who fell down, who lost all their powers, who lost their kingdom, everything, who had droughts and miseries just because of that. Right? So in Kali Yuga, maybe these things are a little less strict. Right? But still, the spirit has to be there to respect everything in relation with Krishna. That is the essence of Vaishnav behavior. And then, of course, well, Krishna directly, yes, of course, we respect him the most. And we respect his pure devotee just like Krishna, because he's the representative of Krishna. Then we respect all the other Vaishnavas also very much. We respect everything related to Krishna. The temple, the prasadam, everything. How can prasadam be thrown away? It has to be respected, you know. Yes, please.
You get too much calculations about how to rise higher and higher and be absolutely, perfectly pure. It's against what Krishna has said about to be forget oneself and not calculate about to rise the heavenly.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. 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 Yes, nice point. Thank you very much. This point is known as Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means to be too much attached to rules and regulations for the sake of following the rules and regulations, rather than using rules and regulations as a system of support, to give us some structure, something to fall back on for when we need it. It is also said that, so there are rules and regulations, and they are here. Here is material life below the rules and regulations. Krishna is far above rules and regulations. Now there are devotees that are approaching Krishna from the position below. They are below the rules and regulations, these devotees, and they go through the rules and regulations up to the point where they are above the rules and regulations. And then they can serve Krishna spontaneously. Yes. So this is the position. So one has to see a little bit where he is. So in the beginning, we cannot be too careless about the rules and regulations because we come from below. But once we are rising above the rules and regulations, then we can also break them for the sake of just serving Krishna, being absorbed in the service of Krishna. We can bend the rule, we can sort of ignore a rule. That's all right. Yes, the animals also. Yes, all creatures. Yeah, because they're all. Yeah, it is a fact that, I can. You are speaking very much with a lot of heart, you know? And this rules and regulations sounds like a little cold. And it is. Ultimately, we are meant to be devotees from the heart. The rules and regulations help us, but then we have to realize it within the heart. And ultimately, we have to realize a great kindness in our heart. Right? Talking about respect certainly doesn't stop at human beings. It respect for all life, even respect for the planet, respect for everything. Right? Respect for Krishna's creation. The air to breathe. Yeah. Yeah. And see that all as Krishna's gift to us and to be used properly. So modern society is not always doing that properly. Therefore in the future as Vaishnavas we would have to adjust our lifestyle. You know, we could not continue to have such a destructive society based on technology. For now, we don't know how to do without. If we switch off the electricity tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen. But it would be difficult in Sweden. It might get cold. So that might not be practical. But still, we'd love to have a lifestyle that would be more supportive of Krishna's creation. Yeah, yeah, and more with respect and love. A tree is a very. How long does it take for a tree to grow? And we just. Cut it down for what? Yeah? For making some newspapers and so on, or what? You know, for so many rubbish things that we don't need. How much paper are we wasting? How many trees are being cut? So, to cut a tree, there was a system then of respecting the tree appropriately and then cutting, right? Not just cutting tree after tree after tree. It's sinful to just cut trees if you don't have a real purpose for using the tree for some essential thing. You cut a tree for building a house to live in, all right, that's one thing. But not just indiscriminately cutting forests and so on. All that's part of plants, animals, human beings, Krishna's creation, everything. That's not easy. But anyway, now that we are living in this world, we cannot change it just like that. We are just small human beings, and what can we do? So within it, we try and be, first of all, respectful to Krishna, his devotees, try and be kind to the animals, and try and be as least destructive as possible. And that's enough. That's enough for now.
When Krishna left 5,000 years ago, when his personality went to the religion, and I wonder about Mother Earth, who was she left? Did she still here?
No. We remember that after Krishna left, Dharma, Gyanadi, Visaha, Krishna left, and Dharma and Gyan also left. Right? But still, we are seeing that gradually Dharma's influence was decreasing, because the Bhagavatam then later on describes it a little further. So it's not that Krishna was having a big chariot and that Dharma was standing in the back of the chariot in the form of a bull and then coming along with Krishna. Now, if we look at Dharma leaving, then we see a few chapters later, we see Dharma appearing in the form of a bull in the pastime of Maharaj Pariksit. Then, with three broken legs, right, by Kali. Then, you get that whole pastime where Kali is asking a place to stay. The places. So Maharaj Pariksit says, you must leave my kingdom. He said, no, but I can't leave your kingdom, because wherever you rule the entire earth, so wherever I go, I'll meet your arrow, your bow, your sword. Right? So somewhere you have to let me stay. He said, all right, I'll let you stay in places where these four illicit activities are going on: meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. Couldn't find such places. There were no such places. All right, places where there's gold. Yeah. But then, because it said where there's gold, there is also the opportunity for corruption. But Maharaj Pariksit was so strict in controlling all the gold that actually Kali had no chance. He had no chance, even where there was the gold. He did not find any opportunity. So he had the biggest problem, actually. To get in. And Maharaj Pariksit, it said, ruled the kingdom after that and was able to restore the legs of Dharma and restore the principles of Dharma for some time. And everyone was praising him and all the brahmanas were praising him. So Maharaj Pariksit was actually successful, right, in restoring Dharma. But then destiny had it that this young brahmana boy somehow or other had become proud and Kali could enter into him, into his pride. And as a result, right, he cursed Maharaj Pariksit to die. Then Dharma began to decline again, really heavily. Right. So, in this way, one can see from the following chapters that it meant that Dharma was disappearing, but yet something was still there, at least truthfulness was still there, and Maharaj Pariksit was able to temporarily restore it. And then it started to go downhill after Maharaj Pariksit left the planet. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.